D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Tuesday, a beautiful day in Nashville, Tennessee. Willie Donick, of course, not here, not even in the country. Willie Donick is in Stockholm, Sweden, with the Nashville Predators, who will be facing the Pittsburgh Penguins in two games Friday and Sunday in the NHL's Global Series. So Willie Donick will join us at some point this week. I think we have something planned for tomorrow. But Willie's off gallivanting in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hold it down for y'all while Willie is out there eating meatballs, because that's what Swedish people do, right? They eat meatballs.
I eat meatballs, too.
Swedish meatballs and shop at IKEA. That's about the extent
turkey
of
meatballs.
My... What about turkey meatballs?
That's what I eat.
Oh, yeah.
Not beef meatballs.
I like a good turkey meatball.
Nothing wrong with
beef it. Meatballs are overrated, I think.
I haven't had one in about 20 years.
Well, nevertheless, Willie's probably eating
yes.
Swedish meatballs mm-hmm. over there in Stockholm. So we will catch up with Willie Donick this week. Happy Veterans Day to all of you who have served our country.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate your sacrifice. And I would not be doing my duty as a loving husband if I did not wish my wife, Bridget, a happy birthday. She loves attention. So happy birthday, honey. I said your name on the radio.
Wow. It is her birthday.
It is.
Man. Still anything planned? Or
she's
you're going to wait until the weekend?
Well, she's working today. Yeah. My son and my sister-in-law are mm-hmm. at home right now
okay.
baking a cake for my wife.
Did she know that?
No.
Wow. You just spoiled it.
She's not listening.
How do you? Whoa.
She only listens when I mention her. So she'll probably listen to
she
this
knows her
later.
She knows her birthday is the day, so I'm sure she turned it on.
We'll see.
Yeah, you got that. There we go. To Bridget.
Is that the happy birthday music?
Happy birthday, yeah.
All right. Happy birthday, Bridget.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to ya. Happy birthday, Bridget. There we go.
She is...
Don't tell her age.
She is 21.
There you go.
Plus...
Whatever.
She is 21 for the 16th year in a row. How about that?
There you go. I was about to say, do you want to be sleeping on the couch again? I remember that look she gave you when we were at the place.
That party foul.
Exactly.
All the talk about Diego Pavia's mom.
Absolutely.
By the way, David, you sent us a picture.
Yeah,
was that Diego Pavia's
yep.
mom actually hugging Theo Von?
Yes, it is. Yep.
I thought that was AI.
I was at the game, and I
thought that was AI.
Yeah.
I turn, and I see Diego and Theo Von hugging. I was like, Diego's mom hugging Theo Von. I was like, I got to take this photo.
Right.
Real
well,
quick.
There you go.
Love is in the air. Love is in the
That's
air.
That's what Diego does.
He brings people
he
together.
He brings people together.
He does bring people together. Speaking of college football, Joe Rexrode of Robbie and Rexrode and The Athletic will join us at 3:40 today. Trevor Maddich will join us at 4:20. We'll talk college football and NFL with both Joe and Trevor Maddich. Programming note, Barry Trotz, Predators GM, will not be joining us today or this week. We were hoping to have him on yesterday, but Barry Trotz was at the Hockey Hall of Fame induction in Toronto, and now he is in Sweden with the team. So we will not be discussing, or we will not be chatting with, Barry Trotz. We will be discussing the Nashville Predators because, that was bad last night.
Man.
And it was incredibly predictable. So we will get to the Predators during the 4 o'clock hour, but Barry Trotz will not be joining us this week. We will catch up again with Barry Trotz next week once the team returns from Sweden. Now, if you listen to this show, we love our sponsors. We love Bax Homeworks.
Mm-hmm.
Bax Homeworks is a fabulous sponsor. They transform kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. You can get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com. But if our show was not sponsored by Bax Homeworks, it mm-hmm. would be sponsored by Tankathon.com. I love Tankathon.com. I wear out that URL. I wear it out. It's sad because sometimes I'll go to Google and type in Tankathon, and then Tankathon will come up, and there will be this little note that says, "You visit often." It's not great. But I do visit Tankathon.com often because both teams in town stink and you need to see where they're going to be in the draft order. So the Tennessee Titans had a fabulous weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They did not play, which was fabulous for all of us because we didn't have to watch them play. But the Saints won. The Jets won. The Dolphins won an extra game. Mm-hmm. That was the craziest score of the weekend, I think. The Dolphins beat the Bills 30-13.
I don't think anyone saw that.
No, I predicted the Bills would cover and take it to the bank, and that certainly did not happen. Mm-hmm. But the Titans are in the driver's seat to have the number one overall pick again. According to Tankathon.com, the current draft order. Titans 1, Saints 2, Giants 3, Browns 4, Jets 5. That's the top five. If you want to fill out the second half of the top 10, Las Vegas 6, Miami 7, Washington 8, Cincinnati 9, and Atlanta, or I guess the Rams have Atlanta's first round pick. So the Rams have the 10th pick. Okay. I don't remember why. I don't remember what trade that was. But nevertheless. And the interesting thing about where the Titans sit right now, Derek, is let's say the Titans have the number one overall pick in the draft once again. We would assume that the Titans aren't going quarterback. They believe in Cam Ward. Now, just because you draft a quarterback high 1 year doesn't mean that you can't draft a quarterback high in another year. The one example that comes to mind, the Arizona Cardinals drafting Josh Rosen with the 10th overall pick in 2018, then turning around and drafting Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick the following year. So it happens. So I'm not going to completely rule out the idea that the Titans could draft a quarterback, but if I had to guess, I would say the Titans aren't drafting a quarterback. So let's say the Titans do get the number one pick, as they are in
position
to do for the second consecutive year. Are there any quarterbacks out there who could compel other teams to trade up for the number one overall pick? And on Saturday morning, before the weekend in college football, Pete Thamel of ESPN.com published a story. Poll: Mendoza top vote-getter as QB1 for upcoming NFL draft. Thamel writes, quote, ESPN re-polled 25 NFL scouts and executives about who will be the first quarterback taken in the 2026 NFL draft, with the results drastically different from 6 weeks ago. In the latest poll, Indiana's Fernando Mendoza was the top vote-getter with 13 votes, putting him ahead of Oregon's Dante Moore with 6 and Alabama's Ty Simpson with 3. Notably, none of those quarterbacks received a vote in the first poll and all have eligibility remaining. Thamel writes, the top of this year's crop has flipped from September 20th, when 7 different quarterbacks received votes, with Lenore Sellers edging out LSU's Garrett Nussmeier. So when this exercise was done 6 weeks ago, Lenore Sellers of South Carolina had the most votes from NFL scouts as the top quarterback in the upcoming class, followed by Garrett Nussmeier. Carson Beck received 3 votes. John Mateer received 3 votes. Drew Aller of Penn State received 2 votes. Sam Levitt of Arizona State received a vote. Arch Manning received a vote. So this was written before Mendoza engineered a 10-play, 80-yard drive with under 2 minutes left as Indiana escaped Penn State 27-24 on that ridiculous catch from Omar Cooper. Sidebar. Another great result from that, Chris Sanders lost in silly underdog picks because he did pick Penn State to beat Indiana. So I was thrilled when Indiana won, just to stick it to Chris. And we'll do silly underdog picks tomorrow, but I digress. So that poll from Pete Thamel, that story was published before Mendoza led Indiana to the 27-24 win at Penn State. And depending on which sports book you look at, Fernando Mendoza is the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. So here's my question, Derek. Do you think Fernando Mendoza is a good enough quarterback that if the Titans have the number one overall pick in the draft next spring, that one of these many quarterback needy teams, and we'll go through them, the Jets, the Saints, the Dolphins, the Raiders, do you think Fernando Mendoza is good enough to convince one of those teams, assuming the Titans have the number one overall pick, to trade up to number one?
Well, that's the question that, you know, was sort of out there last year about Cam Ward, you know, about that class. Can, you know, somebody be convinced to move up to that number one spot? Because at the time, the Titans didn't have the number one spot. But is anyone willing to move up to that number one spot and to trade to try to get a quarterback? Well, you know, after everything sort of shook out, we knew the New York Giants seemed to be the only team that wanted to move up. Now, did they want to get Cam Ward? I don't know, but if you're going to move up to the number one spot, you want that quarterback.
If the Giants were moving up to number
one, it was going to be a quarterback.
The Giants were taking Cam Ward.
Exactly. So it only takes one team. It doesn't have to be five. It doesn't have to be a, you know, 2 years ago, you know, draft where people are trying to move up to get certain quarterbacks. It don't have to be that. It just has to be one team and that one quarterback. This class, you know, before the season even started, like you said, it was flipped. You had a bunch of guys on there, Lenore Sellers, Arch Manning, guys like that, that were projected to be, you know, one, two, flip, however you're going to do it. Now that the season's gone on, guys like Mendoza and these other quarterbacks, now Ty Simpson, he was nowhere on the chart, I don't think. But now these guys are played so well that they are worthy to be considered a number one pick. Now it takes just one team. And if the Titans get the number one pick, I believe there probably is going to be one team that believes that they are that one young quarterback away from building their program back up, or their organization back up, and have a long, you know, sustained, you know, winning at that franchise. So it only takes one team. And I would probably, if I was erring on one side or the other, I would err on there will be a team that is going, if the Titans get the number one pick, there will be a team that's going to offer them something to move up to that spot to get a quarterback. Because we all know that, like Cam Ward, many people said, you get that bump, that quarterback bump, you know. And say if Mendoza's ranked the fifth or sixth best player, or eighth, like Cam was, that automatically, depending on who picks, that automatically gives him a bump. Because either they're going to take a quarterback, or they're going to trade out of that space, and somebody else is going to want to take that quarterback. And it presented itself last year, and it only has to present itself this year once again with one team. That's it.
Multiple texters have pointed out to me that the reason why the Rams have the 10th pick from Atlanta is because Atlanta traded up to get James Pierce. So that's why that pick is the Rams and not the Falcons on Tankathon.com. I completely forgot about that. Thank you for everybody reminding me. By the way, sidebar here. Joey from Bellevue, who also reminded me of this, said, Derek, I heard that you're the Ravens' leading receiver in history and that Mark Andrews is about to break it. That's an amazing feature, you being the all-time receiver for two franchises at the moment. Mark Andrews, Derek, 3 yards away from becoming the all-time receiving leader for the Baltimore Ravens.
He's a damn good player. I don't know him personally, but obviously I watch them as just like I watched the Titans, and he's been a staple for that team since he's gotten there. And, you know, unfortunate for him, he had, you know, the drop last year, but he's still a great player. So it was only a matter of time, because he's been with that organization a long time, and he's playing really, really good football. So hats off to him. He broke the single season record that I had in receptions, and now he breaks the receiving yardage. So good for him.
Are you going to have to record one of those videos where after he breaks the record, they'll show it on the scoreboard? Like, hey, Mark, it's Derek Mason. Congratulations on beating my record.
But then I think Zay Flowers is going to break his. So it's going to be a perpetual breaking of records, because I think, you know, Andrews will break mine, and I think Zay Flowers will break his.
Back to Mendoza. And admittedly, I'm not watching a ton of Indiana football. I watched part of the game on Saturday. I watched the game-winning drive by the Hoosiers against the Nittany Lions, but I'm not watching Indiana football on a regular basis. My vibe is that Mendoza is like Cam Ward in the sense that he is the, at the moment, best option at quarterback in an underwhelming class. That's how I feel about it right now. Pete Thamel of ESPN, who did the poll, writes, quote, while Mendoza is the top vote getter, he has yet to establish himself as a no-brainer number one overall pick. He is trending that way, but there is not yet conviction behind those projections. What do scouts like? They start with the basics of him being 6'5" and 225 pounds. He idolizes Tom Brady, which is viewed as a strong North Star for a prospect. One scout told ESPN, quote, he has wow throws and playmaking passer ability. He can anticipate post-snap, added another. He's decisive and he sees everything well. He's got accuracy down the field and is very tough in the pocket. So again, my novice take on Mendoza is he is going to be, at the moment, if things continue the way they seem to be continuing with Mendoza and the Hoosiers, Mendoza could be the 2026 version of Cam Ward, the best quarterback in an underwhelming class.
But like Cam Ward, you know, he has been to, this would be a second school. Cam was with three, but if you're just talking, you know, Division One, he was with Washington and then went to Miami. But like Cam, each stop that Mendoza has had or each year he's played, he's gotten better. His first year at Cal, his second year at Cal was much better than his first. And now his third year, you know, in college, but his first year with Indiana, his numbers are even better. So he's getting better the more he play. That's a good sign that he can go from system to system and still develop as a quarterback. And that's what Cam did. I think that's why so many people, you know, felt that he was, or at least let's say the Titans, felt that he was worthy of that number one pick. There were a lot of other things involved, but when you see a guy that can go from two to three different places and he's developing and getting better at those places, then that's a good thing. And that's what Mendoza has been able to do. When he was at Cal, he was developing, he went to Indiana, and now he's even better than he was his first 2 years at Cal. So, again, it's not so much – now, some of it will – how far does Indiana go in college football playoffs? If Mendoza is the reason why they are winning these games and get a national championship, then that's a plus for him. But then I think it's ultimately going to come down to, you know, the combine and all these interviews and people, you know, going over his tape with a fine tooth comb. Right now, he may be the leader in the ball house in the clubhouse. But once they really start to do their evaluations, will he end up being that guy?
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Titans are in the driver's seat for the number one overall pick. Again, Fernando Mendoza is considered the top quarterback at the moment in the upcoming draft class. Is Mendoza worth trading up to number one overall? Because if the Titans have the number one overall pick, if they're looking for those premium picks that they could have gotten for trading Jeffrey Simmons, trading out of the number one overall pick is the quickest way to do it. But is Mendoza the quarterback who's going to get it done? 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on that. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Mendoza in trouble! It's out!
That was Gus Johnson short-circuiting after Fernando Mendoza hit Omar Cooper Jr. in the back of the end zone for Indiana as the Hoosiers escaped Penn State with a win on Saturday. Gotta love Gus Johnson. He always brings it. So this is the question that we are discussing, and we want your thoughts as well at 615-737-1025. Pete Thamel of ESPN.com had a story published on Saturday morning. He polled 25 NFL scouts and executives about who will be the first quarterback taken in the 2026 NFL draft. At the moment, Fernando Mendoza is the top vote-getter with 13 votes, putting him ahead of Oregon's Dante Moore with 6 and Ty Simpson of Alabama with 3. So my question is Fernando Mendoza worth trading up to number one overall? Because that's where the Titans are right now. And the Titans, again, I assume, aren't going to take a quarterback with the number one overall pick. I wonder how many times that's happened, if it's ever happened. A team taking a quarterback with the number one overall pick in consecutive years. I bet you have to go way back in the annals of history. But like I said, in recent history, teams have drafted quarterbacks and then drafted another quarterback the following year. I mentioned the Arizona Cardinals with Josh Rosen. He was a top 10 pick. He didn't pan out. The Cardinals had the number one pick in 2019. They took Kyler Murray. By the way, doesn't look like things are working out with Kyler Murray in Arizona right now. The Cardinals could need a quarterback. Could the Cardinals be interested in trading up to number one overall? And we'll get to that in a moment. So that's my question. Is Fernando Mendoza worth trading up to number one overall? Lenny on our text line says, I say we just give the team that wants a quarterback Cam, and then we take their pick. Well, you could end up in the same position you are right now. But Dean Brugler and Nick Baumgartner of The Athletic, who are, you know, they are two of The Athletic's top NFL draft analysts. And speaking of The Athletic, Joe Rexroad of The Athletic and Robbie Rexroad will be joining us in roughly 15 minutes. We'll ask him about this as well. Here is what Brugler and Baumgartner said about Mendoza. NFL scouts consider Mendoza the most likely of the draft-eligible underclassmen quarterbacks to declare, and although it won't be a consensus, he will be quarterback one for multiple teams picking near the top of the draft. Most NFL teams considered last year's class to be a one-quarterback draft in the top 10. That's how it played out, with Cam Ward going number one and Jackson Dart then waiting until number 25. It could be the case again next April if Mendoza is the only underclassman passer to turn pro, which would make the top five in the draft order even more compelling. And Derek, there are a ton of teams in the NFL who need a quarterback. The New York Jets have five first round picks in the next 2 years. Five. I would love if the Titans could get some of those. And you know the Jets absolutely need a quarterback, because when an owner of a team speaks about a quarterback the way Woody Johnson did about Justin Fields, it's over. So the Jets absolutely need a quarterback. We know that. The Cleveland Browns, hell, they always need a quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, he's fine for now, but you know the Browns, they always need a quarterback. What about the Miami Dolphins? Tua Tagovailoa, what's his future in Miami? Doesn't seem great. I mentioned the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of reports over the weekend about how the Cardinals could be preparing to move on from Kyler Murray. Could the Steelers be looking for a quarterback if Aaron Rodgers is one and done? Could the Raiders replace Geno Smith at quarterback? There are a ton of teams who need quarterbacks. So to your point, Derek, even if Mendoza is like Cam Ward, he's the best quarterback in this draft. In a better quarterback draft, he would not be the best quarterback, but he can't help that. If Mendoza occupies the same spot that Cam Ward did 1 year ago, there is going to be a team desperate enough to do it.
Of course, there are a bunch of teams, a handful of teams out there that either need a quarterback or may be considering a quarterback. Because you got to understand, you know, the Cardinals, yes, they may be in the market for the quarterback, but Kyler Murray may go to, say, the Jets,
right,
where they are in need of a quarterback too, but they can get them a quarterback that is, he's a good quarterback, and he's a veteran guy, and he is still on the same contract. He's still on his second contract, I believe, second or third. This is second, I believe. So you can make a trade for him, and now you've at least got a stable, you know, proven NFL quarterback. Now, and I'm not saying that Murray is the top, you know, 7 or 10 quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. So if you're the Jets and if you feel you got so many holes and you got so many picks, then maybe you could trade one of those picks for Kyler Murray, one of those second round picks for Kyler Murray and something else. You get a proven quarterback with some proven talent on offense that the Jets have, and then you draft around him. The Cardinals, I think that whole project that it had with Kyler Murray, and I think they're done with it. So if they do trade him, maybe these one of these teams, the Jets or the Dolphins, who may be in the market for a quarterback, maybe they choose to go the veteran route rather than drafting a quarterback in this this particular draft. So I think it first starts there because that's going to show up before the NFL draft. So to me, if one of those guys do move, then it takes away, you know, a team. Say if, I don't know, who's out there? Cleveland Browns. Say if they, you know, or New Orleans. Say if they stay at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Now those other teams behind New Orleans or in the mix with New Orleans, they don't need quarterbacks. Now does that make New Orleans offer a bigger deal? Or do they say, well, hell, ain't nobody really behind us, so we'll stay put at two. We know the Titans ain't drafting a quarterback. We stay put at two. Now we ain't got we don't have to trade away any of our picks. That's going to be the dilemma for the Tennessee Titans.
Let's look quickly at the – let me pull back up tankathon.com. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the teams behind the Titans in the draft order, which was all of the teams. But let's look at the teams. Let's look at the top 10 teams. Yes, let's look at the teams directly behind the Titans. New Orleans just drafted Tyler Shuck, and he's now in there. Spencer Rattler's out. Tyler Shuck is back in. The Giants have Jackson Dart,
mm-hmm.
who keeps suffering concussions. Maybe that changes now that the Giants have fired Brian Daboll. The Browns always need a quarterback. They drafted two a year ago, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. The Jets absolutely need a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins need a quarterback. The Commanders do not need a quarterback. Jaden Daniels is hurt. He's not having a great season, but they've got Jaden Daniels. Cincinnati.
They don't need a quarterback.
But do you consider drafting Burrow's heir apparent?
Not now. Not in the first round, no.
The Rams? The Rams, Matthew Stafford's only got so many years left.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of teams. Arizona's at 11. Dallas is at 12. So there are plenty of teams behind the Titans who could draft a quarterback.
But some of it is going to depend, again, I think, on whether, you know, those teams like Arizona, which if they do, you know, go away from Kyler Murray and say they do trade him, say, to Cleveland or the Jets. Now, again, it takes the Jets out of the market, but now it puts Arizona back in the market for a quarterback. So does Arizona, if they make a trade, do they make a trade with the Jets so they can get to the fifth spot for Kyler Murray? Maybe they do that. They just swap spots. Because we know the Jets, I mean, we know Arizona needs a quarterback, then the Jets would have a quarterback. So then now what has to happen is New Orleans probably ain't going to get a quarterback. The Giants ain't going to get a quarterback. Cleveland is sort of the wild card here because
they always need a quarterback,
but they did draft two last year.
Yes.
One is playing and ain't looking good. Eventually they'll go to the other and make the determination on whether they do get a quarterback, or they say, you know what, this class isn't good enough. Let's trade out of whatever pick we are at, get more picks, and build the team around a Shedeur Sanders or a Dylan Gabriel.
Brian on our text line says, could we be heading to a time the way college football is now where you don't have elite prospects at quarterback every year? If that's the case, will teams be looking more at your Sam Darnold type instead of the flashy rookies?
What's going to happen is this, because ultimately, you know, there's not like really old quarterbacks, like starting quarterback in the NFL. There aren't, outside of what, Matthew Stafford.
Old quarterbacks?
Yeah, like old.
Joe Flacco.
But he's not, we know Joe. He's just in and out. But I'm saying like.
Matthew Stafford.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers,
he'll be gone.
Those are the ones that come to mind.
Those are the only two teams that come to mind. What is that telling you? It's like maybe we are going to sort of be forced to draft these quarterbacks and let them sit now, because you have so many guys that are coming out earlier that Washington doesn't need a quarterback, Chicago doesn't need a quarterback, and you're talking about, that's just two teams. I'm not going to name others, but that's just two teams. Say if McCarthy pans out. Minnesota doesn't need a – so you're talking about two, three teams that don't need a quarterback at least for the next 10 years in our eyes. So where does that put the quarterbacks that are coming out? Because eventually all these teams are going to be like that, where we got our quarterback set for the next 10 years. And now you draft in that heir apparent, and they have to sit. So maybe we get back to that.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the quarterback market, more specifically the draft-eligible quarterbacks. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad of Robbie and Rexroad and The Athletic will join us. We'll get his thoughts on this. He's a big-time college football guy now. We'll talk to Rexroad about this and more. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Base, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. There it is. Gout man, da na 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 na. And that could mean only one thing. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our very own Joe Rexroad from Robbie and Rexroad and The Athletic. Hello, Joe. How are you?
You know, that song, honestly, like, that gets me so excited. Like, when I hear the Batman music from the Adam West Batman, like, that brings me back to, like, being, like, 4 years old. I was so excited. But then you guys said gout man and made fun of me, so now I feel bad about myself.
But you know what? You got a sponsorship out of your gout, so I don't think you should be that upset about it. That's what I'm saying.
That is true.
So, Joe, we were talking
about... Gout can be very lucrative.
It can. It absolutely can. We were talking about Fernando Mendoza, and you're a big college football reporter, columnist, analyst, so I want your opinion on this as someone who watches Fernando Mendoza more closely than the two of us. With the Titans in the driver's seat for the number one overall pick, let's say they stay there and they have the number one overall pick again. Is Fernando Mendoza, in your mind, worth trading up to number one overall for a team needing a quarterback?
Well, it's a good question. Well, first of all, let me say this. You know, Dane Brugler put out his top 50, I think, today. Unless it was yesterday, I missed it. But he had Fernando Mendoza as his number two quarterback. He has Ty Simpson of Alabama as his number one quarterback and the number two overall prospect.
Hmm.
And I will say that when you watch them play, now Mendoza had made some big plays with his legs, you know, against Penn State. But I do think that athletically, there's a little bit of a difference there. And I think Ty Simpson has been tremendous. So I feel like we may be, you know, this is how. I mean, first of all, it's how media loves it, right? When we can get the is it, you know, Cam Ward or Shadur, you know, Drake May or Caleb Williams. I do feel like we may be headed for a Mendoza-Simpson debate. But to answer your question, I mean, I don't think any of these guys are like that level. They're not Caleb Williams or Drake May or even Jaden Daniels, you know? And the same thing was true last year, in my opinion. I just didn't think any of the quarterbacks coming out, including Cam Ward or Jan Jackson Dart, just, you know, at that point, in my mind, they were not that level of prospect, you know? So I guess my answer is no, but I also would say, if you ask me, do I expect teams to do it? Oh, heck yes, I do.
So, Joe, I enjoyed your column off of the Vanderbilt win against Auburn over the weekend, a thrilling 45-38 overtime win for the Commodores. If I'm not mistaken, the latest CFP rankings will be released later today. How do you think the CFP committee will view Vanderbilt's win on Saturday? Because the offense is there, as you wrote in your column, the offense is there. But the defense, which is strange considering it's a Clark Lea coached team, has been struggling mightily over the past 2 weeks, allowing an average of nearly 500 yards in each of the past two games. So how do you think the CFP committee will look at Vanderbilt's most recent win?
Yeah, well, I think the way they should, I mean, it's just so hard. It's, you know, it's new committee this year. And Mac Rhodes last week made such a big deal out of the film watching. I mean, half of his teleconference after the rankings were like, oh, we look at teams, their D-line and their O-line. We look at their strong up the middle. And it's like, okay, well, that's fine. But, like, you know, I feel like there should be some sort of more consistent guidelines in terms of just performance that I think should be more important. But anyway, you know, I think they should look at it like this. Auburn came to play, and we see this. Coaches fire teams fire their coaches, and a lot of times you'll see that. You'll see a team that comes out fired up the next week, They came out to play. They changed quarterbacks. They changed a lot of what they did offensively. Clark Lee talked about that after the game. They did some tempo stuff, some formation and motion stuff they hadn't showed all year. And, yeah, look, there's no – that's not to excuse Vanderbilt's defense. It was bad. But Auburn played hard. Auburn threw a curveball. Vanderbilt's defense is a problem. But Auburn's defense has been elite this year. Not good, not really good. It's elite. I mean, it's across the board, it has been – it has held every team below its scoring average. It was one of three, along with Indiana Ohio State, to not allow more than 24 points. The rushing numbers, I mean, all up and down the stat sheet, that Auburn defense has been elite and has been betrayed by the offense. Well, Vanderbilt just destroyed that defense. And so, you know, I do think I put a little more stock just because Auburn came to play in what Vanderbilt did offensively that no one else had been able to do. Texas played them. Georgia played them. Oklahoma played them. Not Ole Miss, Missouri, but when they had their quarterback. And all those teams came in under their normal numbers, and Vanderbilt came in above there. So I do think – and I think that also goes to Diego Pavia, right? I mean, he's been unbelievable, in particular the last 2 weeks, almost leading the comeback against Texas and then really just saving their bacon against Auburn.
Now, Joe, with that being said, to me, and I said this yesterday, I'm not sure if this is sustainable. Now, I mean, and when I say sustainable, I mean if indeed they win their last two games, because to me they're going to have to outscore the way their defense is playing. They're going to have to outscore Tennessee because Tennessee is putting up a bunch of points. But even with that, if indeed they do win both those games and get into the college football playoffs, is this defense is the way they're playing with the lack of defense stoppages, is sustainable moving forward?
Well, I mean, I agree with you, D. Mace, mm-hmm. on the next two games, and I think it's just going to be true after that too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to have to. So, like, if they played an Ohio State, which to me is a team that has the kind of defense. And again, Auburn's defense is great, and they got pros in the defense. But like a team like Ohio State, to me, that's a defense that they're so fast and so just loaded all three levels. That's a defense I could see at least holding Vanderbilt's score down. And then on the other side, you know, like it, I just wouldn't be a good matchup. So, I mean, I think it's about matchups, but ultimately I think any wins, if they get in the college football playoff, any win that they are to get in the college football playoff is going to be by shootout too, you know? So, but, you know, you just got to find some stops. The defense has been good this year, and they've played some good offenses, and they've played well. I mean, Missouri has a good offense, and Vanderbilt, and their quarterback got hurt in the game, but still they scored 10 points. I mean, they have played good defense, and – they did get a stop at the end of regulation, and they got the stop in overtime against Auburn. So, I mean, it's not like it's been terrible all year. They need to use this idle week. I hope you guys heard that. Idle
yes.
week to address it. And, you know, Kentucky could be the type of offense that might be a little bit of a get-right offense for them to face, too, before what I think is, you know, a really tough matchup on the road against that Tennessee offense.
Now, with them playing the way that they are on defense, Rex, say if they do, you know, end the season 10-2, are they a lock to make the college football playoffs, or would they? Because I see where in the first iteration of the playoffs where they ranked Vanderbilt, and I thought maybe it should have been a little bit higher, but it's the first one. I get it. But there's a point where you're outside, you're like the last four in, and then you're at the bottom. That a lot of things above you, even if you win, has to happen. So is that the case with Vanderbilt?
I mean, I definitely can't say lock now. Like right now, like if you said, okay, you got to bet a large sum of money on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt goes 10-2. Mm-hmm. You have to bet a large sum of money either way. Are they in or out? I'm quickly betting a large sum of money that they're in. Mm-hmm. But that's still based on some things working their way. There'd have to be quite a few things that all work against them for them to not get in at 10-2. I mean, you know, like Texas, Oklahoma, they have tough games ahead. They'd have to pull some upsets. The ACC and Big 12, I think both would have to get 2 in. Notre Dame would have to get it. You know, the SEC would have to get squeezed. And again, like, would a 9-3 Texas that beat Vanderbilt get in over Vanderbilt? They might. I mean, they would have better wins. And again, they'd have the head-to-head. But I would right now, just based on how the probability of all these different things, I think they're going to be in good shape. And even though Tennessee, obviously it's been, you know, it's a little disappointing. They lost Oklahoma. They don't have, like, great wins themselves. I still think a win against that team on the road would be very impressive to the committee. I think that would really bode well for Vanderbilt. So for the most part, I think they're going to be fine if they win. But yeah, there's always the chance that, you know, the ACC, like, you know, Pitt, or, you know, the ACC somehow gets two in, or the Big 12, they both get two in, and Notre Dame gets in and stuff like that. Like, it's possible. But I think they'd be in good shape if they go 10-2.
Well, I just see it as, especially if UT loses prior to them playing UT, as they did to Vandy before, they counted those wins against them early in the season, Virginia Tech, you know, games like that. The other game where Lenora Sales went out the game, it was almost counted against them. So to me, I believe that's one of those things that can potentially count against Vandy if indeed UT loses, and then you end up beating a UT team that is frankly fell out the top 25 at that point.
Yeah, you definitely, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you definitely want to root for Tennessee to win that game at Florida. That makes the win look better. But, I mean, even if that's the case, I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, the committee, look, I mean, they have plenty of time on their hands. I mean, again, if they're sitting here breaking down film and, like, the coaches in the committee are sitting here running cut-ups for everybody to look at, they certainly talk about, you know, this UT team, let's talk about them. Okay, well, if they just don't miss a field goal, they beat Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, like they were in command of that game, gave up a late touchdown. You know, they go to Alabama, which we think is a top four team. And, you know, if you don't have the stupid pick six at the end of the first half, how does that? I mean, like, they do go deep into, like, let's look at these teams closely. You know, so, again, I agree with you. Like, you definitely want Tennessee to win. You want to be able to say we have X number of top 25 wins and, you know, and have that be one. But, again, I still think even if it doesn't work out, Tennessee loses to Florida, but Vanderbilt beats them, I still think the other things, there's a lot of things that would have to happen otherwise, that some of them that aren't very probable to keep Vanderbilt out.
Now, obviously, Rex, we hadn't spoken to you in a while, and obviously, you know, but Gonzi had his press conference. What did you think of it, of that press conference? Because it's been, you know, a week now or a little bit over that since that press conference happened. And it seemed like to me he did a good job at separating himself from Brinker. He showed that, at least for now, he's the GM. How did you feel about that press conference?
Yeah, I thought it was a good press conference. And it should be a signal to the Titans. Like, unless you have to, just have Borgonzi do the presser when it's a personnel presser, you know? And again, I made the comparison. I know, like, the titles may be different, jobs may be different, but like Steve Underwood, right? Mm-hmm. Like when Steve Underwood was with the Titans, and obviously he was a very important figure for that franchise, you know. But how many pressers did he ever go to? Here and there, if there was something huge, and it's kind of like, okay, you know, like almost like speaking for the owner type thing on this particular topic or that particular topic. But other than that, you know, it was the GMs who would talk, maybe the GM and coach together or whatever. So, but no, I thought Borgonzi was good. I thought when he wasn't in a situation where it's like, okay, do I talk here? Well, I'll wait till Brinker says, you go ahead and take this one. Or, you know, he was just, okay, it's my deal. It's my show. And I thought, I mean, look, I mean, PK has said on our show, you know, that he thinks that he's the guy in the building that, you know, kind of seems to have some juice and have maybe some insight that's helping them, and that they should ride that train. So I didn't see anything in that presser that made me feel differently. I mean, you know, you got to hope that, because I mean, his first draft class, there's some very good things about it. It's still all about Cam Ward. The second round pick right now doesn't look good, but there's some promise. There's some hope in that. And obviously there's been too many draft classes before that where there's very little hope, very little players who were retained.
If I know one thing about Joe Rexroad, and I've known Joe Rexroad for a long time, I know what he's doing tonight. Kentucky and Louisville. ESPN, 7 o'clock, College Hoops. That's my guess. And Joe, I know that you and Robbie doesn't let you talk a lot about college basketball, but you know I love college basketball, so I'm going to give you an opportunity quickly to talk about college basketball. Give me your biggest overreaction from the first week of college basketball season.
My gosh, I'm so excited to get a college basketball question. Robbie will let me like say something.
Are you going to be watching Kentucky Louisville tonight? Am I right about that?
Well, you hit another nerve, Adam, because I'm a YouTube TV subscriber.
Oh.
So no, I will not see it, which really sucks. However, on FS1 tonight, we have Texas Tech at Illinois, which is a badass game.
By the way, the game over the weekend, Alabama and St. John's, was a fabulous game. Fabulous game over the weekend.
No, I mean, I tweeted on Saturday. I'm like, this is a better game than any other game that we'll see in any sport today. So I just want you all to know. My overreaction. Okay, how about this? Toa Pete is the best freshman in America, and he's ranked like the 7th best coming in. This freshman class, as you know, you boozer fan, you, is amazing. But I got to say, Toa Pete, oh my gosh, what he did against Florida, that kid is special. So, as great as Darren Peterson is and all these other guys, Boozer, I'm at Tennessee, and I'll take Toa Pete.
Let it be known that Rex Rhodes thought that Jani Broome should have been National Player of the Year over Cooper Flagg. Let's just all remember that for a moment.
And I was right!
We'll argue about this later. Joe Rexrode of Robbie and Rexrode has been our guest. Mm-hmm. You can listen to him, of course, with Robbie Stanley every morning from 6 to 9 right here on 102.5 The Game. Rexrode, great stuff, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me. See ya.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on college football, the Titans. We'll get more into the Titans in the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we got to talk about the Predators. We talked about the Predators yesterday with Willie Donick before he jetted off to Stockholm with the team. But after last night, I've got a few things I need to get off my chest about this team, and we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.